CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. We are here, it is live, and this morning, Bulelo and I are joined by the brilliant Trevor Gumbi. It's good to see you, man.
Good to be seen, guys.
Yeah, you're looking good. You're looking fresh and ready to conquer the day. You must teach me how to do that. I feel like I've been pushed backwards through a combine harvester. Fucking hell. hang on a second. Hang on. I just got to turn this down. What did you say?
It's why I look so good. I'm using this ancient remedy.
Yeah.
It's an Eastern Asian remedy, but it's new to modern science. It's tested on Himalayan gold herders in North Korea.
Yes.
called X190.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on that.
How does it work?
Basically, what you do is an ice cold enema, and the shards of ice that you squirt up your rectum, they help bleed your lower intestine.
Yes.
Don't put shards of ice up your rectum because I said so. It's the diabetes. That's why I lost weight.
This is not good health advice, by the way. This is not the name.
No.
The name of the show isn't Great Health Advice with Trevor Gumbi. And it's being followed by billions of people all over the world who want to live long and prosper. Jesus. Can you imagine waking up? Like, some people do go for these enemas, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The coffee enema.
Yeah. It's like a housewife in Los Angeles thing. They all go down to the little man who lives in a little office building, and he puts a pipe up their assholes, and then he squirts up coffee, which wakes up supposedly their intestine, and then they have to purge all of the stuff from the coffee enema, and supposedly it makes them feel very good. These housewives hasn't really spread to other demographics though. It seems to be largely confined to the white suburban Los Angeles housewife. It's a very particular class.
It's a bunch of Karens who haven't checked the sexual offenses record. Maybe the guy who's doing these things is a sexual deviant who just wants to watch.
Yes.
Yeah. Good morning, Bulelo. How are you doing, bro?
No, I'm taking down notes.
He's traumatized.
Modern science. Not at all. I'm open to new ideas. This is awesome. Who knew? Shards of ice up the backside. That's all I needed to look like Trevor Gumbi.
And coffee. You can just put it all in once, make a mochaccino, and take a postcard.
What a thing. People do anything to like try and gain an advantage for themselves over others, like hot coffee enemas and, you know, these people who do these ice baths. I don't know if you've seen that's become a big thing too. And saunas. Like, people do all of that shit. Oh, look, I've just gone into load shedding. Isn't that nice? We're still on though. We're still on though, so good luck to anyone who tries to stop this show.
Do you have a UPS?
Oh yeah. No. When we decided to do the show from my house, we had to have some kind of redundancy plan. So this is it. You're going to see me half in the dark. The only thing I haven't got working is the lights, but everything else is on. So this is great.
Okay,
but it's important at this stage to say, please don't live your life in the dark, Gareth. I know that's literally happening now.
I know.
But in a metaphorical sense, please don't embrace that and take that on as a life.
No, I won't. And trust me, South Africans are choosing to live their life in the dark. This is just the ANC's way of reminding you, elections are coming, and please don't vote for us again because we hate responsibilities.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, their timing couldn't be more shit. We've had like 2 or 3 months of no load shedding. Remember? Things were looking up.
Right.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it's almost as if they are the world's most self-destructive organization. Because just before the elections, they're like, we haven't fucked up enough. Let's remind them with a little dose of load shedding just pre the elections. This is perfect. You know, because we've got half a month until people go to the polls for their local and municipal stuff. And there's not a lot of options on the ballot paper. But one of the worst options you can have is to go and is vote for these clowns again, because they're trying their best to prove to us that they will fuck up everything they touch. everything they touch turns to shit. I haven't seen, and I don't know whether you have, I haven't seen one election poster for the ANC up anywhere. They're not even campaigning this year. They're not even trying.
Oh, that's true, eh?
Yeah. They have no
money. Think of it. I haven't seen a poster.
Yeah, they've got no money. So the only posters you'll see are Herman Mashaba's are all over the place because he's got money. The DA, the Vryheidsfront Plus, and I've seen a couple for Patricia de Lille, but those are all in the Western Cape. Otherwise, I see nothing else. No one else is campaigning. EFF have got no money. They've spent all that VBS cash. And the ANC is obviously, the ANC can't even pay the people at Luthuli House. So I don't know what's happening there.
You know what really frustrates me, guys, about load shedding?
Mm-hmm.
Is that if you don't have a generator and you don't have UPS,
mm-hmm.
then your alarm system, your beam.
Yes.
Mm. And the electric fence don't actually work. Mm-hmm. And then the crooks out there have an app to know where the electricity is out and yes. how long it will be out for.
Correct.
It's ridiculous. I don't feel safe.
Well,
good point.
I didn't think about it that way, but they can just get the app and they can check when various neighborhoods are out, and then they can like clean up that neighborhood.
Yeah. I guess I'm just paranoid because I had a home invasion a few months ago, which was quite traumatic that my family's still in counseling for.
Jesus, dude, what happened?
I had moved to a farm in Chartwell.
Yeah?
That's towards Lanseria. So
yes.
It was a nice big farm. All the neighbors have horses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we were just partying up until like midnight. I had passed out and the rest of my family and friends were still out. And five guys scaled the wall, fully tactical gear, like the kneecaps and the elbow pads and bulletproof vests and masks.
Yeah.
And they just came into the house and just like tied everybody up. They woke the kids up, tied them up, and everyone was on the floor. And they spent 2 hours in our house cleaning up everything, like all TVs, computers, laptops. They took uncooked food, they took cooked food, two cars, and they just like left us tied up after 2 hours. That is after they traumatized my kids with taking a family portrait off the wall, and we're like, yeah, you see this? We know your parents. We know his Trevor Kumbi. We'll come back for you if he comes for us. And yeah, the one guy even said, while they were ransacking the house, the one guy said, oh, let's rape the women and children.
Oh my God.
And another one of them was like, no, no, this is why we'll never work with you again, because that's not what we're here for.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing
to move straight away.
That, you know, that is probably one of the most horrible stories I've heard in a long time, because honestly, people don't really share those stories anymore. And we've kind of become used to being in South Africa and having these shit things happen to people. But that you're so calm in telling the story is just horrendous. Are your kids, you say they're in counseling at the moment? They're getting counseling for what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, we all are.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
My wife's office has something called ICAS.
Yeah.
So you can get like rehab for free and therapy for free.
Yeah.
So we do the family therapy and we do the individual therapy.
Oh.
You know, but I had to move because I wasn't catching a wink of sleep. Every little sound just woke me up. And there was like a spree of these break-ins and they killed one of the neighbors by shooting him through his window.
Jesus.
And on the WhatsApp group, another neighbor spent all night, he used to spend all his nights on his roof with his rifle.
My God, this is no way to live. How long ago did this happen?
4 months ago. April. April the 26th.
And obviously, you know, nobody knows who these guys are. You say they were in tactical gear, so they sound like they're professionals at this. Were they looking for anything in particular, or is it just opportunistic?
Well, they were asking for guns. They kept on asking me where my guns are. And when they went to the safe, they only found the magazine. And then they were like, where's the guns? Where are the guns? And that was like, all of them just kept asking for the guns. And like, we found the magazine. Where's the rest? So that was a big thing. And then they also were like taking turns to go shopping. That's in my wardrobe. They went to take like jeans, my wife's clothes, shit like that.
You know, it's not even, I mean, taking jeans and clothes, it's not even to do that to a family, to like tie people up and to talk like this around them, traumatize these kids for probably something they'll never forget in their whole lives over clothes and stuff. It's just ridiculous.
And food.
Food. Like it's so basic. It's not even a, you know, like high level kind of, they're breaking in because they're coming to get hold of your, I don't know, you mentioned guns, but like maybe you have, I don't know, Krugerrands or something, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. Significant. It's nothing like that.
Yeah. Cause I remember it was my son's birthday. So we had a bride, and at the time they came in, the food was still laid out.
Oh my God.
They took all their cooked food. Like, who takes chakalaka? What do you pour it in?
Dude.
Do you like look for my condoms and put minestrone soup in a condom, tie it up for your family? Can you imagine he got home? He's like, I've got minestrone soup and chakalaka and two different condom flavors. Sorry if the chakalaka tastes like strawberries.
And you have no idea who these guys are? There was no clue as to, are they just like a roving band of like criminals who go from house to house? Is this what they do?
Yeah, I think they're a gang that met in prison, because what they called each other on the night was a chus or fader, and those are terms used in prison. A chus is what the prisoners called each other, and the prisoners called the wardens fader. So I knew that they had spent some jail time from the way that they speak. But what made me nervous was the fact that they were fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
Which frightened me, because that would make them erratic. If they're not organized and they fight amongst each other, they might hurt us just to prove a point to the other.
What was the worst thing for you, being in a situation where you couldn't protect your family, where you were completely neutralized? I mean, like, for any man, you know, we would all fight to the death to protect our kids and our family, and we would obviously make the right decision to survive for ourselves, but because you didn't have that option, like there was no way for you to kind of to take control of the situation. You were just caught off guard, like anyone in a home invasion. You were one of the victims, essentially. Was it horrible to feel that powerless? Is that the worst part of it for you?
I think you're spot on, Gareth. I think you're spot on. It's feeling powerless and not being able to protect my family. And you know that I've gone through bouts of feeling inferior and feeling emasculated.
Mm-hmm.
And that all stems from the power taken away from me in my youth, when I was molested as a child, you know?
Mm.
So there was all of that coming back, being feeling powerless and feeling unable to protect my family. But at that point, when they were like, let's rape the woman and children, I was like,
Jesus.
Well, you're not going to have my children growing up the way I did. I was ready to get up. And I did get up, but the one guy put his boots on my back and pushed me back down and whispered in my ear, Kumbi, don't worry, that's not going to happen. One of the guys said that, whispered into my ear.
So they knew who you were, and that was meant to make you feel better. Oh, my God. You must have had chills, dude.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's horrible. What a horrible story. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to anyone who thought that Trevor Gumbi was going to come on this morning and make us laugh, because he's done the opposite.
Well, I was also upset at the fact that they didn't even look at my wife's ass while she was tied down.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, there's the Trevor Gumbi. Oh, my God.
Look at her ass, guys. They just walked over her like she was one of the dudes.
Well, listen to this quickly.
I've got her doing 50 squats a morning now.
Oh, my God. Stop it. Jay Keats says, I was robbed in the same way. I was tied up and terrorized while babysitting at 13. They were in the house for an hour, a crew of four guys. That shit screws you up for life. I'm glad that your family are getting counseling. Oh, man.
Yep.
No, it's,
Jesus,
it's
that's
a situation. Now, how many lived experiences are there like this in South Africa? And then we should feel safe with our policing and our electricity supply. Oh, and another thing, when I reported it, and I was going back and forth to the police station. The police station that I went to, in the news, four of the police officers that served there were arrested for housebreaking.
Oh, you see, this is part. Yeah, you're on your own, man. There's no one to come and save you in South Africa now. I mean, the whole idea that you could call the police and they'll do something is like it's kind of ridiculous, you know.
And they're now they want to take our guns away.
Well, Yonda says, I was going to visit Trevor the following morning and I couldn't get hold of him for 4 days until he told me that story. I hope those fuckers are half dead now.
Yeah. Yeah, Yonda Niki. That's a friend of mine, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, dude.
Wow. Yeah, you know, Trevor, what you're saying is very interesting. So it happened to me about 3 years ago on top of Table Mountain. And a similar thing that happened was...
Hold on. On top of Table Mountain...
Yeah.
So you were living on top of Table Mountain as a vagrant?
No, well, I'm closer. So we go to the mountain. You see it as a vagrant. For me, it's a rite of passage.
Circumcised.
No, it was a rite of passage, yeah. But Trevor, if I'm going to become a man, I still need my latte. You know what I mean? I'm all for the closer traditions, but I still need that soft life. You know what I mean? I'm not doing it in the Eastern Cape. So Table Mountain,
no. Tell him the truth. So you went for a hike because you actually haven't discussed this on the show before. And the fact is, like, you still the court case is still ongoing or something.
Yeah, still ongoing. Yeah.
Just explain to Trevor what happened and everybody else.
So yeah, I mean, similar thing. So I went for a run, and these guys. What's funny is I actually saw them on the way up, and it didn't really really click in my mind what they were doing. But anyway, went up. And eventually, when I came down, I still saw the guy hours later. Anyway, when I came back, the guy chased me with this like a knife. Anyway, walking up, eventually, because I outran him, because mountain running is something I do. But as I turned around, actually, because I was looking back to see if he was following me. And as I turned around, the guy, so as I like looked up, because the escape like route was uphill. And as I looked up, a guy had a knife to my throat. Anyway, so... To cut a long story short, they stripped me naked, took all of my stuff, right? And then I thought, oh, okay, cool. They just want my stuff. Whatever, I can buy more stuff. Then they led us off into the bushes, or they led me off into the bushes. Yeah, yeah. So now I'm naked, mountain, whole vibe now. So they pull me in the bushes, and then
what
get
time
there.
What time of day is this, so we can get a mental picture of what's going on?
This was about... I was up there at about 5 o'clock. So let's say about 7. It was about 7 o'clock, let's say. Yeah, about 7 a.m. But here's the kicker, right? I get there and there's already two guys naked and tied up on the floor. And now it's clear where this is going, right? Anyway, I don't want to bore you with what they were saying. And it's a very similar to what you were saying. I could hear that these guys had done this before, but weren't organized, because some of the debates were things like, should we stab this guy, that guy, not stab him, you know what I mean? So it was an extremely interesting thing to hear what you're saying but there was an interesting moment for me as I was going through this situation. So I was the only black guy up there, because trail running, no black people are up there. You know, it's when, because I could understand the guys because they were speaking closer, right? I was the only person who could understand. Is there was a moment where I accepted the death thing, because I could hear that these guys were monsters.
Jesus.
So for me, actually, and I've spoken to the other victims of the situation, was that actually it was easier for me, and I feel horrible for you and the rest of your family, in that, you know, there's a certain peace to accepting death in a situation, because I completely accepted that these are monsters and we are all dead. They're already talking about stabbing quite easily. So, but the other guys didn't know what they were saying the whole time, because the guy said, we're going to stab these guys. And they were saying to me, hey, bro, sorry, because essentially it came down to, hey, sorry to leave you with these dead people, because the other guys were white guys. It did also come down to that, you know. And at the end, something interesting happened. The guy said, did you stab the black guy as well? And they were, I could hear them screaming and shouting to say the guy, what one of them should go back. And eventually they decided not to. Yeah. So it was interesting to me to hear the erratic thing, though. I totally kind of identified in that
undisciplined,
moment.
Crazy.
Once I knew they were erratic and fighting amongst each other, I was like, okay, anything's possible here. You just got to accept that this is your last day on earth. Had a pretty good run.
Jesus, man. So
I empathize.
You didn't. I empathize. So did anyone get stabbed?
Yeah. No. The other guys got stabbed, yeah.
Oh, my God. And they didn't stab you?
Yeah. No, they didn't stab me. But I mean, yeah, it was bad, like in the jugular, and it was hectic. No, it was proper.
Did they both survive?
Yeah, no, the other three guys did survive, and it was ridiculous because, you know, the horrible thing, the way it happened was that when they decided, hey, we're out of here, it was also that thing because we were tied up, right? So my hands were tied up, and the way I was laying, I was looking directly at one guy. I was kind of on a hill, and the way they did it, so I mean, it's pretty gruesome. But the one guy, they stabbed him like in the jugular here, and then the blood started spewing out his mouth. But the way they did it, right, was that I didn't have time to close my eyes because it wasn't like they warned. It was just like, okay, boom, they're getting out of here. And the guy just whipped out this massive knife. And listen, I come from a rural family, so I know somebody who stabbed cattle. Like, this guy's clearly stabbed to kill before. And he stabbed the guy. And, you know, it's a deeply moving thing to see, like, this guy's eyes. And, you know, it's pretty hectic. So I do identify a little bit with Trevor. I mean, yeah, my one, I mean, to have your own family, is especially in your own home. Oh my God,
guys! When did this show?
I'm never going on Table Mountain again.
No,
and I will never look. I'll never look at the hillsides of the Eastern Cape the same, because the hillsides of the Eastern Cape are littered in the foreskins of Xhosa men, which make for lush greenery. Just don't walk barefoot; it's too squishy.
Dogoza says, geez, I used to hike up Table Mountain around that time almost every morning. So glad that didn't happen to me. So they caught these guys, and they're currently on trial, right?
Yeah, what's hilarious is by the time we got down to the Sandparks offices, they'd caught four of the five. They were all sitting there. The other one had escaped. It was a really, really interesting circumstance.
You know what
yeah.
bothers me about that story and about Trevor's is why the need to be shitty about it? Like, you know, theft is, we can all rationalize it. It's like maybe someone's really hungry and desperate. It doesn't make it right. But they can take your stuff. You're like, all right, fine. You know, take my stuff. It's fine. Just don't traumatize my family. Don't stab someone. What do you need to do this for? Why is there always this accompaniment of horrible, monstrous violence with it? That's what I will never understand. What is the need to have to, after they've taken all your stuff and tied you up naked, what's the need to have to stab someone in the throat? Where does that come from?
I think our society has been dehumanized. And we just don't feel anymore. And it's also a feeling of power for people.
Yeah.
For people who've been, what would you call it, marginalized or something? Yeah. But people who've never felt power at their own hands. And they want to feel it through somebody weaker than them.
Well, those are the same guys who rape, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. Sexual assault is not about orgasm.
No.
It's about power.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a horrible story. Both of you.
Yeah.
Here we are.
This life
removed. Yeah, we're trying to make everybody happy first thing on a Wednesday morning, and we've got two crom survivors here. So
I'd stay in this country I want to stay here, but the crom, Gareth, the crom, it's why I have to go to Australia.
No,
I don't want
you.
It's fine. It's fine. I realized that I was molested as a kid because I was a sexy baby. All right. That's how I feel good about that.
Anyway, if anybody has come onto the show for the first time this morning, they're like, there's this show. I haven't checked it out yet. Let me go on YouTube or on podcast and just check out this show. They'll never come back. This is the last time we'll ever catch those people again. That's finished now. Oh, my goodness. What a waste. Anyway, listen.
Yeah.
I flew back from George yesterday. I was in Knysna. There was this thing I did for Tourvest. I met such an awesome crowd of people. But I landed there on Monday afternoon, and went straight through to this event. They were holding their conference. You've never met such crazy people in your life. They had a party on Monday night, a Mexican party on a Monday night to start the thing, where everybody got drunk. Everyone.
Tequila drunk.
Yes. That's all they had for drinks there. People were getting plastered on a Monday night, and they are fun people. All of them are professional drinkers. It was amazing. Amazing.
You got to be a professional to have a Mexican-themed party.
On a Monday.
Mexican food and tequila. You'll be going to the toilet every 30 minutes.
Dude.
It's like drinking Jägermeister and eating Buchlax as a snack.
No, it was bad. I had to, so eventually at about 8:30, and you know, there's still like a curfew in place in some of these, obviously, restaurants and things. They have to be closed by, I think, 11 or whatever. So somewhere around 8:30, 9 o'clock, I looked at the situation and realized like it wasn't going to get better for me if I stayed longer. There would be a lot more outrageous behavior and more drinks, and I was just not up for that because I had shit to do the next day. You know, part of the reason I was there was to do this thing yesterday. Anyway, so I decided to walk back at 9 o'clock at night on my own. Luckily, I mean, there may be a drug trade in Knysna because they've got the little bay, the lagoon, and what ships do apparently is they dock just outside of Knysna. And then they send in little tender boats with drugs on them. And Knysna is one of the biggest places where drugs enter South Africa because there's no port authority. So you just, if you can get your little boat through the heads, you can find a place somewhere, a little house or wherever it is that they do the actual delivery. And you can deliver like millions of rands worth of drugs. And then it can go into the country from there because there's no port authority. You know, it's kind of every man for himself. So I was walking back, but I didn't think about any of that stuff. I walked back to the hotel, and luckily, you know, I had my phone with me, so I could use like a navigation app to find my way back. But I don't know how long the rest of them carried on partying for. And the next morning, they were all fresh as a daisy, which proves that they're professionals. They're professionals. These are not amateur people. You
also,
know.
If you have cocaine delivered to your bay without port authorities, you'll be fine. At 8 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think these people were doing. They were drinking a shit ton of tequila. I can tell you that much. But I found it interesting that Knysna, which is this quiet, peaceful little place, you know, people don't really talk about Knysna when they talk about the cities and towns in South Africa. But that's one of the things that goes on there when it's dark. Is you got little boats coming in.
Is that also why there's a lot of perlemoon smuggled from there? And what's that other thing that's like squid?
Yeah, like calamari.
No, man, what's the other thing? They make a huge fuss about it. Nope. I don't know anything about it. It's like fucking rhino horn to me. It's alien.
I know about perlemoon. I don't know about any others. But that's the whole thing there. And the whole way up to the Transkei as well, that's kind of what they do there. Because there's who's patrolling? Like, we talk about how you can't even live your life peacefully without a home invasion. Who do you think's patrolling the sea? I mean, that's a large expanse of play. Who's looking at every beach while we sleep at night? No one. No one's doing that. So you can imagine what goes on the coast. It's a wild west, also, you know?
It's like, you know, Knysna's perfect because really the people that live down there are fourth, fifth generation. I inherited this place from my grandparents. So it's not like dynamic people. You know, it's just like hippies. It's a bunch of hippies who are living off their trust funds, most of them. And I love Knysna. Forgive me for all of their. So nobody's ever going to go question that because they're busy meditating in the forest. I mean, it is an incredible place. But I quickly want to tell you something that's also true is, most of the marijuana in this country comes through Lesotho, right? I don't want to say the mountain pass because I don't want to mess with people's business. And how I know this is for 5 years in a row, I did a pilgrimage on my own and I always used to see the guys and I've chatted to them where they're carrying marijuana with donkeys in I do something called the Grand Traverse, which is traversing the Drakensberg on my own, right? And I do it over 8-9 days on my own. But I see these guys all the time and I know the mountain pass they use. In fact, let me tell you the truth. everybody knows, the police know, because some of the marijuana fields,
yeah,
there's one in particular at that border, sort of up there from the police station. It's about 800 meters away from the police station where the guys are plant. So most of our drugs come through the Lesotho Mountains, or where the Drakensberg meets Lesotho and South Africa.
Sure.
Just yo, it's Snay on the snitching Snay.
That's why I didn't say the pass. It's a big place. It's a big place.
Yo. Oh, wow. Well, Mfundo says he can confirm that story of yours about the weed. But you're
our
allowed...
police, Trevor, you've seen the size of our police. They're not getting up there. They can't even they can't even come to our homes.
No.
They're not hiking up there. Don't worry.
No, there's no way they're busy eating a kwarta on the side of the road, waiting for waiting for KFC bribes. Pretty much, they move from one free meal to the next. Our police, that's their whole thing. Jeez,
a kwarta is one of the most nutritious meals one can eat.
You think
that is yeast, barley, polony. Not the fucking fancy polony. You gotta have that red polony. That red polony that's just made out of pig testicles only. None of the hooves and cartilage, just testicles, okay? Then you gotta have free range eggs fried into that basket and a block of cheese that melts like wholesome. It is the best food ever.
That's disgusting.
I'll fuck around with a quarter, Gareth.
Oh, my God. So Dr. Robin says Port St. John's is another place where that sort of thing happens. People smuggle stuff in. Yeah.
Tossers, of course.
No one's watching this stuff. There's no one paying attention. I mean, listen, how many of us know at least 10 people? All of us know at least 10 people who've crossed the border from Zim. And there's no border. You just climb under the fence and then you hope you don't get eaten by something on the way across, like a crocodile in the river or a lion or whatever. Because if you go too close to the Kruger Park side, there is a chance that animals will eat you. But if you can make it through there, once you're into Limpopo province, you're home free. Nobody's watching. There's no one sitting on a tower with a gun, like going, oh, we're going to protect our borders. It's the Wild West.
Yeah, true.
It is true. You know how I know things are bad in Zimbabwe? I'm from Limpopo. I'm shocked that the Zimbabwean people, when they come to Limpopo, they don't turn around. Like after they've seen what Limpopo's like.
What's
so it
like?
Tells me how bad things are in Zimbabwe.
What's Limpopo like?
Full of witches. Witches and spells and curses and bullshit. Like a whole lot of superstition.
Whoa. That's insulting to a part of Limpopo. Only the Venda people do the potions right. So my grandmother was Venda. Have some respect. The Beddies, not so much. The Beddies are the trust fund kids of South Africa. We are such placid, absolutely run-of-the-mill people. We're like Canadians. Just so boring.
The Beddies are the Canadians of South Africa. I love that. That's hilarious.
Boring to death. But the Vendas. Trevor, let me tell you something. If you want to live your life, Go and visit some vendor people. Yay, they're electrifying. Electrifying.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It is all happening up there. All of it.
Like what? I mean, you go there and what do they tell you?
So the one when I went, I remember going with my granny, and I was young. We're talking about a baby here, by the way. No, we're talking about a baby, and I was taken by a woman who is what we know as Isangoma.
Okay.
To be told about my grandmother. But then I remember her saying that it's important that my penis is strong. I'm six, like six or seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sangoma says you must make sure that your penis is strong. But to her, it was like, no, we're just talking. Huh? What? Yeah, so that's just a little
about
highlight.
A child. No wonder we have traumatized people who go around and do house invasions, because they get told by people when they're 6 months old they need to have stronger penises. Like you don't even have time to have an insecurity complex by that stage, and you're already having this shit put in your head while it's still soft.
I mean, and also,
earliest memory was being told by an elderly person that he's got a weak erection.
Exactly. Don't tell me that's not going to affect you.
I mean, at 6 years old, the only erection I got was from holding in my piss.
Right. I don't even know.
Yeah. What were you? Were you fucking at the age of six in Costa Johnson?
Well, here's something.
How can you even know?
Tina Turner's Carve says, I've missed this Trevor Gumby since he's become a soap opera actor now. I don't know, soapy actor, yeah. Well, Trevor, you don't... listen, dude, I think a lot of people have missed you doing stand-up, and I'm sure you've missed it as well, because... people are serious, hey? And we need to laugh more than ever.
Right, right. Yeah. I can't wait to get back to stand up, man. I'm working on two shows right now.
Yeah.
I need to film my previous show, The Divorce Tour, yeah. And then I'm moving on to a different show called Strong Decisions.
Strong Decisions.
So, yeah.
I like that.
I've made a couple of strong decisions in my life, which have turned out quite fucked up, yeah.
Have you guys seen the new Dave Chappelle that's getting all this attention?
I saw 5 minutes of it, and then my kids came in the room, so I had to change the channel to something less jarring. So I put on the news.
It's funny that you think Dave Chappelle is going to be jarring for their kids when they've just survived a home invasion. I mean, I think they'll be okay with Dave Chappelle, I've got to tell you. I'm just thinking. I'm sure they can handle it. They've been through enough. Yeah, I've heard. I've only heard clips of like the most controversial things. He's apparently the LGBT community is going after him now for saying he must please. He's got to apologize because he's now a transphobe and a homophobe. And you know, you can't joke about any of this shit anymore because everybody's super sensitive. Now, let me ask you something: if the people who are claiming that they're marginalized are so powerful that they can force famous people like Dave Chappelle to make apologies, or that they can demand apologies, are they really marginalized? Are you really marginalized if you can make a comedian, if you can go out there and say to a comedian, you must apologize? Then you're powerful. You're not marginalized.
Trevor, before you go on this one, I just want to say this. Is part of being accepted into a society is that you can be ridiculed, right? Is white man, black man, white woman, we make fun of them all the time. So when you want the full spectrum of rights, by the way, that comes with, you being ridiculed, everyone gets ridiculed.
No, we're going to make fun of you.
So why is it okay when we say, oh, the typical white woman with her bamboo cup? You never ever say anything about that. If you want to be part of our society, understand that by the very nature of being human, you're ridiculous. So you must be ridiculed because we are all ridiculous. And this idea that a comedian has to apologize,
it's ridiculous,
to a bunch of people is so stupid. I don't know what Trevor.
Let's hear what the comedian
I'd
says.
Love to know what
look, I agree with you, but I have to say. By virtue of being a comedian doesn't give you carte blanche to ridicule people. I personally feel like if I am going to ridicule a person, it's going to come from a point of self-deprivation. You know, I always put myself in those shoes, okay? With Gareth's point about... are they that powerful? I don't think the individual is powerful. I feel that the LGBTQ plus society have come together after many years of being oppressed, being killed, being ridiculed. They've come together in their numbers because there's power in numbers. And now they can cancel a person because they've got the numbers.
Yeah, but
you understand what I mean?
You don't get...
Like I personally...
Nobody gets to cancel. That's power. And if you've got power, then you can't claim to be marginalized. It's one or the other. And even if you've come together in your numbers, now suddenly you've got power. So you're going to what? You're going to cancel a comedian? Try it. Go on, try it. Let's see how that works out for you. It does the opposite of rallying people like me to your cause. If you're trying to shut other people down because they're making jokes about you, jokes, you know, I mean, no one's running around trying to kill trans people because of Dave Chappelle's joke. I can promise you that. I will nail myself to a cross if anyone actually goes out and kills a trans person because of a Dave Chappelle joke. It's never going to happen.
True.
And also, Trevor, what you do is an art form. We must also take things in context, right. Which is why I'm not really interested in everyone being offended all the time, is that when you are up there, is we are coming to see you as the court jester would do back in the day. You know, the royalty back in the day used to have the court jester, yes, number one, for their own entertainment, but actually it's to know what the people on the street think about him or her. That's why the court jester used to play that role as well. So you as a comedian are telling us as well the temperature of our society.
We need that. We need someone to...
We must take you in that context.
Right.
Fuck, bro, you're smarter than you look.
Can I show you something? Let me show you something quickly. Because
that's awesome.
Because I do... I also think that someone like Caitlyn Jenner is ridiculous and should be ridiculed. Caitlyn Jenner is a ridiculous person. And if the trans community want to use Caitlyn Jenner as their, you know, their totem pole, then you go ahead, guys. But don't expect us to not laugh. Look at this guy. This is a guy who's a trans woman who sued salon workers. Remember this story? It was like a year ago. Because the females who work at this salon refused to wax her balls. And she's lost her case in Canada. So that just happened this week. Yeah. That just happened this week. This man, who's still got his balls, big hairy balls, went to a salon and said to women who work at the salon, who are waxing women most of the time, you must wax my balls. They're like, no, we're a salon that only waxes females. And he's like, well, I'm gonna sue you. And he has lost his case, or she has lost her case, or whatever it is, because I don't know what the correct terminology is.
Well, this trans woman, I feel like she was infringing on the star's rights.
Yeah.
They also have rights
Imagine your daughter or your mum or your sister works at a salon and that trans woman walks in and says, "Now I want you to wax my balls." I would not be happy about that. There's no way I'd be okay with my daughter or my sister having to do that for a job. Sorry.
I'd be okay with my mom doing it because my mom's blind. She feels her way around. She would just thought it's a vagina with the mumps.
Well, by the way, here's the woman who worked at the salon, just so you know. this is woman. There's a woman with a huge woman with a hammer. That's what that
Why does she have a sledgehammer?
I don't know.
it looks like she works at a men's clinic when you walk in with a case of the drop.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so
what do white people call the drop?
The drop. What is the drop? Explain.
It's when it's an STD.
Oh.
And the pee hole of your penis gets clogged up with semen and bacteria, and then the whole thing expands and gets filled with pus.
Oh Jesus! And that's disgusting.
When you go into the clinic, they put it on a cutting board similar to the one you cut onions on, and they use a sledgehammer.
Oh man!
To
a sledgehammer? You must be joking.
It's a rubber hammer.
Ah,
but this is an old disease. It's like getting bilharzia. When last did somebody get bilharzia or yellow jaundice? I think it died in Nkosi Johnson.
That sounds horrendous. Hey, you're having a real go at poor Nkosi Johnson this morning. I'm not happy about that.
Oh, he shouldn't have been fucking at the age of 8, should he?
Oh, man. Yes, sis. Trevor, we forget sometimes with you. You know, a lot of people talking here about TG Squared and how they miss that show. But I don't. Because
I miss it too.
We used to get complaints every single day from people. And it's still the most outrageous radio show I've ever heard in my life was Trevor Gumby's show. So if you think, by the way, that any of this that's been talked about this morning is crazy, you missed TG Squared. That show was unbelievable. There was nothing.
It's going to come back.
It's going to come back. We're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
We're just going to find someone. We're just going to find someone to pay for Trevor's time. That's what we need.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. I think the perfect sponsor is whoever makes those boner pills sold at Engen.
What? What are you? Wait. What are you talking about?
On a Thursday night out.
Yeah.
When you're going home with something strange, but you know, it's a Thursday night. You're not really up for it, so you stop at the Engen. You buy those boner pills I like to call them match fixing.
Yeah.
You buy the boaticles, you buy a Red Bull and a toilet paper just to disguise your purchase.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the boaticles. Whoever makes it, I think it's Dr. Long or something strange.
That's
like that.
Hilarious.
TG Square, sponsored by boaticles.
That would be amazing. I think that would be the perfect sponsor.
Yeah.
In fact, anything they sell at the garage after 9 should be a potential sponsor for TG Squared.
Yeah. Yeah. Spinach and feta pies with the guava juice.
That's just
disgusting. Let's go, pie.
Oh my god, that's horrendous.
It's a perfect ending to a perfect night.
Yeah. God,
I didn't know garages sold boaticles.
Neither did I.
Thank you for this news. Trevor.
This is really useful news.
It's behind the cashier, next to the cigarettes, discreetly hidden by the air freshener. You have to point it out.
But I like it now, Trevor. I'm gonna next time if I'm ever out on a Thursday night.
I'm gonna look for
them. I'm gonna say, hey, Chief. Yeah, hey, Chief. I need some match fixing there.
Yeah. He'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we call it, hey, can I get a case of Hansi Kronier? You know what I mean?
Yes. You've got to add layers of euphemism to this until eventually it's got a totally unrelated name. And then people will feel comfortable.
Like rhyming slang.
Yeah, so then everyone will go, okay, now I know what you want. Here it is. We don't need to discuss this anymore.
Guys, don't fuck up this whole, because it's a ritual for 40-year-old and higher black men after a night of chasing around young girls in the club while you're wearing formal shoes and the gout is kicking in. You've got to get to the engine. Don't park at the door or at the window. Park at the pump.
Yes.
And just pour like 20 rands worth of petrol while you quickly run in.
Yes.
You ask for the boaticles, but you kind of, you've got to set up a ruse and ask for one roll of toilet paper, a Red Bull, and a lotto ticket. So she's all over the place. She's not in one place. Because if she just reaches by the air freshener, he's fucking buying boaticles for me.
That's right. You got to disguise this stuff.
And then she's going to sleep defensively in a onesie.
This is unbelievable. Oh, man. This is so great. All right. So Cindy says, it's not even 6 a.m. here. I'm laughing out loud in the pitch dark. God, I love Mr. Goombi. I love that.
Hey, Cindy.
Yeah. Cindy, who's been a fan of yours from day one. Ruth says, I love that Trevor Goombi has not lost his sense of humor after all that he's been through recently. Yeah, dude. That's a good point.
Thank you, Rebellious Ruth.
Yeah. And Tanya says, you're hysterical. Tracy says, Trevor's tame today. He's definitely holding back. You think? And by the way, Lucky Motlepeng says, or Matlapeng says, Trevor is lying. They never used a rubber hammer. It's a myth.
Okay. Lucky, what did they use? Because I never got the drop personally. You've obviously got the experience. Please tell us what they used. I don't think they do it at the men's clinic. Everyone's just soft nowadays.
Yeah. No, that's that. Brandon Pillay says, Trevor is a legend. You see how many people love you here. Tabo Pali says, Trevor is right. I bought Instant Desire from a garage once.
Instant Desire, that's what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
Oh, wow.
Instant Desire. Fucking brilliant. Who names this shit?
It's great. Imagine there's a marketing...
It sounds like a name for potpourri.
Exactly. Imagine there's a marketing department and it's all like 30-year-old girls who like sit in a brainstorm. And, I think we must call it this. Now, I think that... Now, you know what? Instant Desire is the best. Let's go with Instant Desire. Yeah. That's the one.
Got it.
The kind of people who'd name a bowl of potpourri Lavender Labia.
Well, here's Tabo. He says, here's another one. It's called Dr. Long's Long Love Formula.
Wow.
That's too long to say while drunk at an engine. Yeah. Dr. Long, Long Love. Yeah. Dr. Long, Long Love. Oh, shit. Dr. Long's Formula.
Yeah.
Then you go home with some milk formula for a toddler. Imagine sprinkling milk formula over your cock while trying to thumb it into a fat girl you met at the club.
I knew this was a good idea. All right, Trevor Gumby's with us. We've got Bulelo, you got me, you got you, you got everything you need this morning to start your day right. I've even got a bit of load shedding here at home, which is very exciting. And we've really run the gamut this morning. We went into a pretty hardcore story from Trevor that none of us knew about a home invasion he had just a little while ago. And we end off with boner pills. You really get everything you want on the show this morning. And to prove the point, we're also going to talk about something which is going really well this week. I'm not going to jinx it because I know that there's more to come. Here's Sean Sanders from Revix.com. Hey, Sean, how are you, man?
Morning, guys. Morning, guys. Yeah, good, thanks. How are you doing this morning? Actually, great, thanks. Yeah. It's $56,100 this morning in Bitcoin. So it's smiling from here to here.
Very, very nice. And all those people who were all down on the market for a couple of weeks because it was dropping down into the low 40s, even the 30s, they all shat themselves. They all said, oh, we're going to divest now. Let's get out of here. And Bitcoin is back in a big way. What's happening with the rest of the cryptocurrencies, by the way?
The rest of the cryptocurrency market, I mean, up until October, the rest of the crypto market was up about 25% on Bitcoin year to date. Mm-hmm. And then from October, Bitcoin's been clawing back gains. I mean, Bitcoin, just, you know, for reference purposes, is up about 26% in October alone. And wow. This is all on this euphoria and optimism around the Bitcoin ETF in the US. So Bitcoin ETF, just so you know, everyone here is on the same page, is an exchange-traded fund that you could invest in through your stock brokerage account, right? So mm-hmm. if you're a hedge fund or you're a family office or you are a pension fund or any of these big funds with lots of money, you can't go to the likes of Revix. You don't have a mandate to go to the likes of a Revix and invest in Bitcoin, any of the other cryptocurrencies. You actually have to go to one of these sort of legacy institutions. So that's a huge opportunity for this market. I mean, you're potentially unlocking trillions of dollars that could enter this asset class. And that's sort of, you know, why everyone's now plowed into the crypto market.
And
I mean,
all
the crypto
of this
market's back to being worth $2.3 trillion.
Phenomenal.
I mean, that's insane.
And all of this despite China trying to shut down cryptocurrencies. All of this despite many institutions still speaking out and not necessarily being huge fans of crypto. Do you think we've got past the hump where crypto is going to be knocked left, right, and center by, you know, the big banks, by governments? Do you think we're past that now? Do you think cryptocurrencies are so big that they can't be put back in the bottle like a genie?
That's a great question. So I do think crypto is too big now to put it back in the bottle and to say, okay, listen, this is just a, you know, fun little experiment that's gone. Mm-hmm. Having said that, though, there is going to be loads of volatility ahead, right? This is still an emerging asset class. And we've spoken about this on the show loads before. But, you know, you're not looking at something here that's going to be worth $2 trillion if it succeeds. I mean, $2 trillion is sort of where the market's sitting right now. I mean, this is a $10, $15, $20 trillion asset class over the next 10 to 15 years if it continues to grow the way that it's growing. And adoption is increasing, right? I mean, every single day, you've got hundreds of thousands of people across the world coming into the crypto space, the penny's dropping, and they're going, oh, gosh, it makes so much more sense that all of a sudden, we don't have this financial system like we have today, where you've got banks that essentially move money between people, give out loans, and do all the rest. You've got systems where the money itself actually has, you know, technology inside of it that you could perhaps have debit orders, but that's the money itself doing it, not necessarily mm-hmm. your bank. So your money becomes smart. And that's the evolution of money, right? And that's the exciting part and why we want more people to get involved in the crypto space. And I think that leads me into, I did my own segue there actually. So
yeah,
that leads me into
nice.
Sort of the promo of this week. we are launching a Bitcoin fee-free promotion from Friday in honor of the largest cryptocurrency moving in the way that it has over the last few weeks. So if you buy into Bitcoin, it doesn't matter the amount. You can invest 150 Rand on the Revix platform, or you can invest 2 million Rand. You're going to buy into Bitcoin with absolutely zero fees on our platform from Friday this week. And there's no promo codes or anything. You can literally just sign up for an account, make a deposit, and it's fee-free from there on out.
And let's just remind people, you don't have to have millions and millions of rands to get into this. You can do it with a small, like, couple of hundred rand. You can start purchasing your way into the cryptocurrency market and then get along for the ride. It's been an enormously fun ride. I mean, I've been in this since, what, 2013, 14, somewhere around there. And I haven't looked back and gone, oh, that's the worst thing I ever did. Trust me, there were months where I looked at it and I thought, oh, I probably put too much in here. But There hasn't been a single time where I've gone, I should not have bought any cryptocurrency. And if you don't have any, and you still trust government with your savings, or you trust big banks with your savings, I've got bad news for you. Those are not people who've earned your trust and not people who will show that they can be trusted. Rather trust some decentralized system where everybody's in it together than trust a particular institution. Am I right?
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And I think maybe just one final point as well from my side. Every week, or it feels like every day, we've got customers that come to us and they either come into our office or they call in and they say, you know, am I too late? You know, Bitcoin is now at close to R1 million. You know, have I missed this? And, you know, I've said this before as well on the show. I was feeling that in 2014. I was feeling that in 2015, 16, 17. Sure. You know, all the years that I've been involved in crypto, it's kind of like, oh, the easy gains are gone. And maybe they are. I mean, I'm not sitting here with some magical ball that I can see into the future. But what I can say is that I don't personally think it's too late to be early in the space. I mean, if you are seeing the space grow into something that's going to be worth $10, $20 trillion, I mean, you're still sitting at, you know, only 10% of that journey really right now.
Sure. So buy back in if you've gone out, and if you haven't bought yet, then get a little bit. Just get some skin in the game. It's worth it. Yeah. All right, Sean, that's terrific. If you want to know what to do, head along to revix.com. That's R-E-V-I-X.com. And you can verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice. And before you know it, you're going to be on the roller coaster. And from there on, it's fun. So go and check it out. The Bitcoin, no fees today. Yeah, yeah. No fees from Friday and for how long? A week?
It's for 1 week, yeah.
Okay. Nice.
1 week, no fees. Sean, a very close friend of mine is a fan of the show and your podcast and you in particular, obviously because of your brains and everything you've done to build the business, just so you know, just so we keep it above board. Let's just stick to what that is. But she has said you definitely have a fake background. And I said, I tell you what, I'm going to give Sean a call when I'm in Cape Town, because I'll be in Cape Town from tomorrow. And I'm going to take a short little video from your office so she sees that there's nothing fake about you. Because a lot of people have been saying, by the way, why does Sean have a fake background? No, he's actually in his office. All right, there we go.
Yeah,
what do you mean? We've had a lot of feedback.
No, what do you I've said before, we just tried to have a fancy Zoom background. So, you know, and I've said this on the show as well. Back, I don't know, call it a year or so ago, some customer called in and said, listen, you've got such a terrible background. Your company's doing so well. What's going on?
Oh,
and I took
really?
Offense to that. I was like, I'm going out to get a cool Zoom background. And that's what hopefully I've done now.
Okay.
So, well, there you
have it. I love it. All right.
Please come around to the office.
Get ready for Mbulelo to come and ruin your office in the next couple of days. All right. Very good.
Yeah. No, I'm going to come through.
Very good. Thanks, Sean. Good to see you, dude.
It's great, guys. Thank
you
so much.
Very good. Sean Saunders from Revix. Go and check them out today. Yeah, Trevor was, is that an Iron Man mask on your shelf behind you? Yeah, that one.
You're on mute. Trevor.
You muted yourself. No, we can't hear you.
I muted him.
Oh, did you mute him? Then unmute him. What are you doing? Why did you mute him? How dare you?
There we go.
All right,
Trevor,
there we go. You're back.
Yeah, why did you mute me during Sean's
Yeah, exactly. What did you do that for?
No, because we're all listening attentively, and because I'm a professional and Sean is one of our customers, we all need to be muted. I muted me and you, Trevor. Don't take it personally, please. It was just
Fuck
the whole
you,
professional
man.
Standard.
And by the way, Sean Saunders has got such beautiful skin. He looks like an olive dipped in oil.
Yes.
It's so like a shaved peach.
Mm.
Very attractive.
No, Sean used to do modeling. He actually got paid just to appear and to look good.
That's incorrect English, Gareth. He didn't used to do modeling. He used to model.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Get
you
it see, together.
My inferior school that I was at, I wasn't at a good school like you and Bolelo, so my English usage
shows.
Deteriorated.
Yeah, and it shows.
I know, it's terrible.
Yo, Bolelo, the SABC did such a number on Gareth, he took his show onto the internet, and now he's taking all his money into the internet as well.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck this government. Fire me, will you? Everything's internet-based.
Yeah, everything must be. That everything must go. I love it. All right. We got Trevor Gumbi with us. We've got Bulelo. We got me, you, and we've got plenty more for you in the next hour. Stick around. We've got a lot to talk about. CliffCentral.com on, what is it, Wednesday morning. Ooh, it's the 13th, if anybody cares about that. Care about the 13th? It's only Friday the 13th you need to care about. The rest you can be comfortable with. Wednesday the 13th is not a thing. CliffCentral.com.